Hello and welcome to CityWire Studios. My name is Olivia Bibble, and today I am joined by David Zahn, Head of Sustainable Fixed Income at Franklin Templeton. Welcome, David.
Good morning.
Can we start off with you telling me a bit about yourself? How did you get into sustainable fixed income investment?
Yeah, well, it's been a long journey moving into sustainable investment. Obviously, that's fixed income is a relatively new area, kind of only taking off in the last, 6, 7 years. It's really become more to the forefront. And I could just see that this is a trend and also really important to have sustainable investing. And just very gradually started off with having some very easy exclusions and looking at how sustainable companies are to now doing things like green bonds and having high impact. So it's really been a journey through the entire area.
Mm-hmm. Where would you say are the best opportunities for sustainable bonds right now?
I think one of the best places for sustainable bonds is green bonds at the moment. And I think it's really just because, investors are more and more looking for impact. They're also looking for duration, given where we are in the interest rate cycle. And also, lastly, they're looking for sustainable investments. And green bonds really fit all three of those areas. And the sustainable investments, I think, is really important because given that green bonds are use of proceeds, we know 100% is going to sustainable investments, which is very different to, if you buy a company where, maybe half the company is focused on sustainable, but the other half isn't focused as much on sustainable. So I think it really, if you want to have high impact, it's really the place to go. And the long duration, given that we're starting into a rate cutting cycle, is just a huge benefit as well.
Mm-hmm. So you manage the Franklin Sustainable Euro Green Bond UCITS ETF. Can you tell me a bit about the management of the fund? Who else is on the team?
Yeah, it's a long name, isn't it? So the team is myself and Rod McPhee. We're the two PMs, but we're supported by a very large sustainable team, as well as our credit research team and our sovereign research team. And so it's really going through the green frameworks and looking to see what the companies are going to do with the money that you give them, or the governments, what the projects are, and then seeing if that fits with a transition to a low carbon future. And then really all those individuals then have input into should we buy that bond? And then for the portfolio managers, just how does that fit in our overall portfolio? And what do we do from there?
What kind of bonds is the ETF exposed to?
Well, it is mainly green bonds, as I said. But it doesn't have to be exclusively green bonds, because really we're looking for 75% must be in green labeled bonds. And we're really looking for companies that the overall company is decarbonizing as well as they're doing green projects. But it can also invest in pure plays. So there are some, mass transit or, renewable energy issuers that haven't issued green bonds because they don't feel like they need to. And so we invest in them because we know that that is helping decarbonize the economy, and that's really what the main focus of this product is.
How does your search process differ between government issued and corporate debt?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, a lot of people say, governments, what can you really engage with them? Is there much you can do? We find that actually, corporates is more looking at, what is the list of projects that they're going to do. Engage with them when they do their framework, and then what is the financial metrics of the company? Because obviously we are doing impact investing, but we also want to be repaid because we are bond investors after all. Whereas on governments, you have probably a little bit less impact on the green bond frameworks when they're first coming because they're such large issuers, and also their use of proceeds can be much larger. But it's really important to make sure, again, that the country is looking at decarbonizing and how are they going about that. So I would say in some ways it's very different because the sovereign, in general, your default risk is much lower. But the other good thing about green bonds is that they're almost all incredibly high quality. They're almost all investment grade. And so actually your default is very, very low. It's more just what is the pricing structure between the two.
And what are the benefits of using an ETF to gain exposure to these bonds over a more traditional fund?
Yeah, there's a couple of good things about an ETF. I think one of them is there's a secondary market liquidity. So not every subscription or redemption comes directly into the fund. There's market makers that make a market, and you can buy it anytime during the day. So if you decide you want to buy it in the middle of the day, you can. You don't have to wait till the close. But the other thing I think is really great about it is the transparency. The holdings get published on the website every day, so you can see exactly what is the portfolio manager doing, what names are you exposed to. So if all of a sudden you see something in the news and you say, oh, are we exposed to that? You can immediately look and see, are you exposed to that? Whereas mutual funds, it tends to be their disclosure is a bit more lagged. And so I think that's one of the biggest advantages for it.
Mm-hmm. So this ETF has minus 5% annualized returns over 3 years. It's beaten out the benchmark by just under 1%. What would you say is driving performance now?
Well, I think that, as I said before, the green bonds are long duration assets. So if we look over the last 3 years, interest rates have gone up a lot. So, and many people have brought up, you know, does this mean that in 2022, when we saw rates go up so much, does this mean the green bonds are not working? Well, no, they're not. They're long duration assets. If you look at an aggregate index, they're about 1 year longer than a conventional index. And so when you see bond yields rise, they will go down. But I think the great advantage now is we'll see the central banks embark on a rate cutting cycle shortly, and that means that bond yields will be coming down, which means that extra duration will now benefit green bonds, where it hasn't benefited as much in the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that interest rate headwind is kind of over now, or is that still something that you're thinking about going forward?
No, we think the interest rate headwind is behind us now. In fact, we were running short duration relative to the benchmark, because this is an actively managed ETF, and we actually are now long duration versus the benchmark. So we expect interest rates will be declining, and that will help us outperform our benchmark, our peers, and get positive returns for our investors.
Mm-hmm. Can you speak a bit about the benefits of an actively managed ETF in this space?
Yeah, I think it's that's really important in the green bond space, just because not all green bonds are created equal. So there are some that have more impact, there's some that have less impact. And what we've done is we built a proprietary database to keep track of the impact of all the green bonds that we have, so we can see which ones have more impact. And so what we want to do is look at, if you have two bonds with the same yield and the same risk, then you would say, well, we'd buy the one with the higher impact. And so I think from that perspective, it's really important that you have active management in doing this, because you can get rid of some of the ones that maybe don't have as much impact and get more in the focus of the impact ones, as well as the green bond market is really diversifying and you're getting a lot of new issuers. And, I'm not saying all new issuers aren't as good as the old issuers, but the first ones to issue green bonds were the really obvious ones. And now you're getting people who are doing really good things, but maybe not having as high an impact, some of them. And so, again, you don't want to just buy all those. And the last point is just, there are some very large green bond issuers, and they have like 2 or 3% of the index. And if you're in a passive one, you just own 2, 3% of a corporate. And that may not be what you want, whereas we keep all of our corporate names usually 1.5% or below. So I think that's another advantage to having active management. And I think it's one of the misnomers we need to work on with ETFs, that just because it's an ETF, it's a wrapper, doesn't mean it's passive or active. You actually have to look at what is the manager doing.
Mm-hmm. So this ETF was launched in 2019. Mm-hmm. You've touched a bit on new issuers coming through. How has the market developed since the ETF launched?
Yeah, so the when we first launched, it was predominantly governments, supranationals, and utilities and banks. Those are the big issuers. But now we're seeing more and more issuers come to market. We've seen the telcos, we've seen autos. And so we're really seeing it broadening out. And now the green bond market in Europe is, twice the size of the high yield market. And so it really gives you the flexibility to run something with impact that can be just as diversified as, say, a conventional bond fund. And so I think that at the beginning, it probably wasn't as diversified, but now it is very diversified. So I would say that's the biggest advantage, which means there's much more scope to add value through active management.
Mm-hmm. So would you say that this product can sit in the same place in a client's portfolio as a traditional bond fund?
I think that if they want generic exposure to this is a European focused fund, yes, absolutely. I think that the overall return dynamics and will be very similar, but obviously the impact would be considerably higher. And so I do think it fits as part of that, but I see a lot of people are doing it as part of their allocation, not all of it, and keeping some conventionals to create more alpha and then this one to add more impact. Mm-hmm. And so I think it really does partner well together.
So why Europe? Is that the best place to buy sustainable bonds?
We think that green bonds are a very regional asset class. So they're different in Europe or US or in Asia. But the Europe is the leader in it. And for two reasons. Three reasons. One is Europe is moving fastest to decarbonize the economy and green the economy. And two, the reporting requirements and the market is very well developed. It's very robust. And three, there's huge demand. And so about two-thirds of green bonds are issued in Europe. So you can actually have the bulk of your exposure in Europe and actually get the green bond market. And you're seeing more and more global issuers coming to Europe to issue. Because if you issue in Europe, you have to provide annual updates of how has your impact been? You know, have you spent all the money? Has it been spent the way you said it would be? What CO2 emissions have been saved, et cetera. Whereas in some other jurisdictions, like the US, they have great projects, they do great things, but sometimes reporting isn't necessarily as robust. And in Asia, you know, there's you know, what they see as green may not be quite as green as we would expect in Europe because, you know, they have different issues. And if you're living in a city that has pollution every day, and you say, okay, well, we're going to put scrubbers into smokestacks, and that's going to really reduce pollution. If you live there, that's amazing. And it does, but it's still, you know, lengthening a coal asset that maybe you don't want to do. So I think Europe is the nexus. It's actually the bond market that Europe is the leader. And I think it will remain the leader for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. So you've touched a bit on how the market has developed in the 5 years since the ETF launched. Where do you think it has left to go? What will the European sustainable bond market look like in five years from now?
Well, I think a couple of things will happen over the next 5 years. One, that you'll just get more and more issuance, so it'll become a bigger and bigger market. And there's a lot of people that haven't even started looking at green bonds yet. And as I said, given it's you know, twice the size of the European high yield market, it seems rather odd that people haven't looked at it. And so I think you will see more and more investors looking at it, which will drive more issuers. So you'll see a broadening of the issuer base. You'll see more curves being created by companies. So they'll have multiple bonds. Sometimes now they have one green bond or maybe two green bonds. And you also see that in the government space. You know, you'll see full curves for many countries, which will allow you to be more active in how you manage it. But also just gives you better diversification. So I think we've kind of been on that trend for the last 5 years, and I think it's only accelerating and going to do even more going forward.
Okay, great. Well, I think that's a good note to end on. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you so much.